If you have your copies of the scriptures with you this morning, this evening, I would invite you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 12. It's also printed in the back of the order of worship if you don't have that with you, if you don't have your Bible with you. I want to just give a quick kind of recap to catch us up to where we're at, because it's important, as we saw last Sunday evening, as Matt preached. He reminded us and showed us how really this is the pinnacle of the Ezra-Nehemiah narrative. So kind of a quick outline, if you think of Ezra and Nehemiah, you think of the return of the exiles out of Babylon. They have sinned against God, and God has now graciously brought them back into the land. And we remember in Ezra seeing the rebuilding of the temple. Then in Ezra also we saw the return of Ezra and the rebuilding of the community. So you have the temple built, and then the people gather to worship, and you see reforms in the community is being built. Then in Nehemiah, you'll remember that Nehemiah comes, and Nehemiah's charge is to kind of rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, to kind of make it an official city, to bring it its walls. And then we are now in the section of Nehemiah where more exiles have returned, filling the city, and again we see a rebuilding of the community. So we have kind of three important aspects that have come together in the Ezra and Nehemiah narrative of a holy people coming into God's holy city and worshiping at his holy temple. This is really the outworking of God's grand promise in Scripture, the grand scope of the story of redemption, as God's promise from the very beginning to be a God to his people and to dwell with them. This is like a signpost along the way that God says, I am fulfilling my promises. And this is just, as we know on this side of history, this is just a taste of God dwelling with his people. As we've seen the different segments throughout Ezra and Nehemiah of the people being built up as a community and worshiping God, we've seen a few kind of different aspects of worship, different emotions brought out. If you'll recall, when the temple foundations were built, remember the young rejoiced. And yet those older among the people who remember the former glory wept. We've seen that the people sit under the preaching of the word and weeping. And yet the ministers of the word say, don't weep. This isn't a time for weeping. This is a time for rejoicing and feasting. And the people gather together. We've seen them celebrate the feasts that the Lord has instituted. We've seen mourning as the people come and confess their sins. They mourn. These are all aspects of worship. And yet tonight we're going to see an aspect of worship that is so important. Through the mourning, as we confess our sins, we come to a place where we ought to respond with thankful hearts to what the Lord has done. Let me pray and we'll read our text this evening. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you that in it we see the grand scope of redemptive history, and we see that you are the God who is faithful to keep your promises. Where we are at on that redemptive historical timeline, Father, we see in such a more grand way what you have done for us through Christ. We pray that you would help us to respond accordingly with thankful hearts. We lift up Pastor Matt this evening. We pray that you would strengthen him. We pray that you would just give him health, help him to be able to make a flight soon, and give him the well-being to be able to be healthy enough to get on the flight and to get home and be able to rest. Father, we pray for your blessing upon us this evening in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah 12, beginning with verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgivings, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the district surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages of the Tephathites and from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went to the wall to the south on the wall to the Dung Gate. And after them went Hoshea and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests' sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micaiah, son of Zakur, son of Asaph, and his relatives, Shemaiah, Azarel, Melalai, Gelalai, Mai, Nathanael, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe, went before them. At the fountain gate, they went up straight before them by the stairs of the city of David at the ascent of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The other choir of those who gave thanks went to the north, and I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of the ovens to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim and by the gate of Yeshanah and by the fish gate and the tower of Hananel and the tower of the hundred to the sheep gate. And they came to a halt at the gate of the guard. So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elenoi, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehoatnan, Micaiah, Elam, and Ezer, and the singers with Jezrehiah as their leader. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as you see in your order of worship, the title of the message tonight is Make a Joyful Noise. This is a line that comes from Psalm 100. Begins, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that's kind of the key in our worship is the people here are making a joyful noise to the Lord. They have not gathered to celebrate their greatness. They've not gathered to celebrate just all the work they have done. They're not like the people of Babel who have built this great tower to make a name for themselves. But the temple is built. The wall is built. The community is built. They're there to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Our worship must always be directed Godward. We were created for this, to worship God. Well, from tonight's passage, I want to look at two points of reverberation that come from worshiping God that flow out of worship of God. First, we're going to look at how worship unto the Lord resounds to one another. Worship unto the Lord resounds to one another. And then worship unto the Lord resounds into the world. Worship unto the Lord resounds into the world. Our first point this evening, worship unto the Lord resounds to one another. First off, it's important that we understand the context here is worship. As you think through just some of the language that I just read, it's a dedication ceremony. The priests and the Levites are gathered. They've purified themselves. They've purified the people and the gates and the wall. They're offering sacrifices. This is a scene of worship. But each part of this celebration, of this dedication of the wall, this worship ceremony, what's stressed is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is stressed. The people are here to offer thanksgiving. The entire ceremony is enveloped in it. Verse 27 mentions that the dedication of the wall was a celebration filled with gladness, thanksgiving, and singing. Verses 31 and 38, as Nehemiah describes these two great choirs that he has formed, they are appointed for the purpose of giving thanks. Verse 43 says, the people rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoice. You see this repetition. It's great joy that God has brought them to this point. And the scene begins with these two great choirs giving thanks. One choir circled the city, heading south and counterclockwise, while the other moved north and clockwise, just filling the entire city with the sound of a joyful noise of thanksgiving. And in the passage, the thanksgiving that they are offering kind of builds to a crescendo as the whole community joins in, as these two great choirs march around the city and come to the temple. Then Nehemiah writes that all the people join in, and the women and children rejoice with great joy. Everyone here is included. And as I've mentioned, we've seen various aspects of worship in Ezra and Nehemiah, but throughout Scripture, thanksgiving is one of those things, of the various emotions that we can have and experience in worship. Thanksgiving is one that is especially marked as for our worship. Just think of a couple passages. Isaiah 51:3 says, "For the Lord comforts Zion; He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song." I love it when my home, I can tell there's peace in my home when there's singing happening. We're listening to music maybe that's just especially upbeat and happy and cheery. It's a good thing. Sometimes I grew up in a home where melancholy was enjoyed. So we play certain music that's just kind of puts us in that mood. But there's something special in a household when there's singing happening. And my boys know I like to make a song out of all sorts of things. They'll say random things and I'll just make a song out of it. But I love it. There is peace and joy when the home is filled with music. And this is exactly what is happening here in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is filled with the joyful sound of thanksgiving, of rejoicing. But in this aspect where we consider how our worship that's directed unto the Lord flows out unto one another and encourages one another, think of Ephesians 5. Where Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The one another is important. You know, that's a wonderful study if you ever had the time to walk through and look at the various one another's in Scripture. But that is something that our worship ought to do as we worship, as we're sitting under the word, as we're singing. Our worship unto the Lord ought to flow out and encourage one another. There is a purpose in the corporate worship that God has given us. As we saw last Sunday night, that long list of horribly difficult names. And yet the whole purpose is that God is gathering his people as a corporate body to worship him. Why are the people here in Nehemiah rejoicing and giving thanks? They know they had sinned against God. They had rebelled against him. God had warned them by the prophets. that if they didn't cease from worshiping false gods, if they didn't trust in him, that he would come and remove them from the land. And then God graciously restores them to the land. And not only restores them to the land, but he allows them to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city. And the people are rejoicing for the great work that God has done. As I've said, they are not rejoicing because they are some great and mighty people, but they are rejoicing because of what God has done. Psalm 48 captures this scene well. The psalmist says, "Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever." The language there is, look at what our God has done. Walk about the city and just look at it. This is God's city. And then because this is God's city, he fills it with his people, and he has promised at his temple to dwell with us. Consider what God has done. The procession around the walls was more than mere pomp and circumstance. It was a celebration and recognition of all that God had done in their midst. They were soaking it in. The question then for us is, how much more ought we to be people who have thanksgiving-filled worship? As we see what God has done for us in Christ, they were only tasting of the shadows of God's goodness. We are tasting of the substance of God's salvation in Christ. Each Lord's Day we gather, we consider the promises of God that are ours in Christ. To borrow the language of the psalm, we walk around and through the riches that are ours in Christ. As we have the Word of God held out to us each and every Lord's Day, we sit under the teaching of the Word and we hear what God has done for us through his Word. We confess it together. We sing about it. We pray about it. We see what God has done for us in reconciling us. We can't just look at those, we can't look at Israel and Judah and say, oh yeah, look at those horrible people. They only would have listened to God. That's us. We are rebellious and wicked people, and yet God says, because I love you and place my name upon you, I will save you. And we look at that each Lord's Day as we consider Christ living for us, dying for us, being raised for us, and ascending on high for us, interceding for us. We consider these truths, and as we gather corporately, we don't just sit at home studying these rich truths, but we are told not to neglect the gathering of ourselves together. We come together to hear these wonderful truths from Scripture, to hear what God has done for us. As we think maybe about the times that we come and worship and we are struggling to be thankful, the message is, walk about the city. Walk about the city and look at what God has done. Come to worship and hear what God has done for us. Listen to those kiddos singing out at the top of their lungs the praises to God and say, man, God is great. Pray that he would fill your heart with thanksgiving and rejoicing. As we sing, we want to remember that the corporate body, we need one another. The analogy that Paul gives us of a physical body and talking about not neglecting the parts of the body that seem insignificant, that happens in worship as we sing out. We want our pew neighbor to be able to hear us. We want to let the praises that, Lord willing, are in our soul to flow out. As a kid worshiping and hearing my dad, sitting next to my dad, and my dad just belting out at top of his voice that was not a good voice. Belting out, but he couldn't sing, and it was sometimes difficult to sing next to him, but you could just hear in his voice the thanksgiving pouring out. In the short amount of time we have left, we want to look at our second point, that worship unto the Lord resounds into the world. These two great choirs encircled the city. They met at the temple, and we hear that the whole congregation joined in rejoicing with a great rejoicing. The women and the children joined in. But verse 43 ends, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. The joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Throughout the Ezra and Nehemiah narrative, the adversaries kept popping up. One of these adversaries said as they were building the wall, "Ha! Look at this wall that the silly Israelites are building. A fox could climb up on that wall and it's just going to come tumbling down." Well, now the people have two great choirs marching around on top of this wall, and it stands firm. So in a sense, as this sound of rejoicing is going out and being heard far away, it's a sound of victory for the adversaries to say, look what our God has done. The world often sees the church as weak and foolish. They think that we might be stronger if we were more of a political force. They expect us, they see strength maybe in some angry social media blasts. You know what the strength of the church is? Gathering week in and week out and worshiping our holy and triune God. Because every time we gather as his people, every Lord's Day, we are confessing Jesus Christ until he comes again. We are singing of the resurrection, that our God has come and he has defeated sin and death, and he will come again. Every Lord's Day we gather together, and the world may be out there thinking we are weak and foolish. But the sound of rejoicing in this room, if they could hear it, they might scratch their head and wonder what exactly is going on. The overflow of our thanksgiving and worship and our lives rings out to the world around us as a victory cry, as each Sunday we hear echoed throughout history, it is finished. Christ has surely done it. But it's more than a victory cry. The worship in Jerusalem was always meant to be a light to the nations. All the way back to the very founding of the nation, if you think about God coming to Abraham and establishing his covenant with Abraham, he said, you will be a blessing to the nations. They were always meant to be a blessing to the nations. They weren't meant to be just a little enclosed society. The people here in Nehemiah's time weren't meant just to have their temple and their wall and their community and say, that's enough. We don't, no more allowed in. No, the sound of their rejoicing, Nehemiah adds here, was heard far away because they were meant to be light to the nations around them, a blessing to the nations around them. Our worship resounds to the nations as a joyful noise of the hope that is within us because of Christ's victory. It's a cry, though, of invitation for all who might hear to come and trust in Christ. It's like we've been learning about in John. We want our voices, like the voices of the woman at the well, to be heard far and wide. Let me tell you about my Savior. Come and meet him. Our voices may not physically carry very far out of this room. We're lucky if it could be heard out in the parking lot or onto the street. But just gathering, we worship our risen Savior. We encourage one another in our worship. And we go out into the world thankful for what he has done. Our lives should testify of the hope that's within us. Like, how Is someone going to come and ask us about the hope that's within us if we are not people who are overflowing with hope? We ought to be a thankful people. Our thankfulness resounds beyond these walls when we invite people to church. Come and see. Come and sit in this choir of people who are singing out thanksgivings to God, who are rejoicing. Let your neighbors and your friends that you bring in to this corporate worship where they can hear these choirs rejoicing say, what is happening in this place? Let them hear it and rejoice. Hear Psalm 100 as we wrap up. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We ought to be a thankful people. Let's take that thankfulness into the world around us.